Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we mentioned at the beginning of the worship service, you probably know that the Bible has quite a bit to say about gossip. And really, none of it is good. Here are a few relevant verses, for example, from the book of Proverbs. A gossip goes around betraying secrets, but a trustworthy spirit keeps a matter confidential. Whoever spreads gossip is a fool, and with his mouth, the godless person destroys his neighbor. In the eighth commandment, God tells us, "You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor." And so we might think, well, as long as what I'm saying about someone else is true, well, then it's okay to say it. But as we see God teaching us on this subject throughout his word, he doesn't only want us to not tell lies about someone else, but he also wants us not even to spread true information about someone else that will end up harming their reputation. Instead, he wants us to defend others and speak well of others and to take their words and actions in the kindest possible way. And if we have a true concern about the spiritual well-being of someone else, then to go in private and talk to that person one-on-one, speak directly to them about it and not speak to others about that other person. And so God forbids gossip in general, because usually what people gossip about is not good things about other people that build up the reputations of others, but rather usually the gossip is about negative things about other people that have the effect of giving them a bad reputation. However, today, as we mentioned, we're going to be encouraging each other to gossip in a good way, to gossip the gospel. Now, obviously, as we just talked about, that doesn't really fit with the way that the word gossip is normally used to refer to the spreading of information about others that usually paints them in a bad light. But God calls on us in his word today to think about how important it is for others to hear the message of forgiveness and salvation through Jesus. And so just as we often feel a burning desire to spread the hottest new gossip that we've heard about someone else, even though we know that we shouldn't, we should much more have a proper burning desire to spread the life-saving message of the gospel about Jesus, since God tells us that we should. Our sermon text today from Romans chapter 10 too often gives people the impression that it's talking only about the need for more pastors and evangelists, Christian teachers and missionaries. And it's true that we do need more of all of those. Our own church body, for example, has immediate need for more than 150 more pastors in the churches and institutions and missions of our church body. And we certainly always need more missionaries to help us to carry out the great commission that Jesus has given to us, his church, to go and gather disciples from all nations. And so we encourage everyone, especially our young people, but not only our young people, to consider whether God may be calling you to a career of full-time service in the ministry of the gospel as a pastor or teacher or staff minister or missionary. And even older people can think about perhaps switching careers and taking on that full-time calling as well. But if we're thinking about these verses in Romans chapter 10 as referring only to those kinds of full-time ministry of the gospel, then I think that we're really missing the main point that God, through his Apostle Paul, is calling us to think about. The Apostle Paul is speaking not only about the glory of the public ministry of the gospel, but also about the simple truth that the gospel has to be heard, or at least read, in order to be believed. And it has to be spoken or conveyed in print in some way in order to be heard or read. And that just doesn't just mean by the clergy, by the full-time ministers of the gospel, but by all Christians, by all believers in Jesus. Jesus gave the Great Commission not just to a select few, but to the whole church, to all believers. And if we're having any trouble with grasping this and applying it to ourselves, it's probably because of the word preacher and preach in our text in verses 14 and 15. And that makes us think naturally just about pastors and missionaries, someone who has been specially trained at the seminary, trained to be able to prepare a sermon and to deliver it in front of a group of people in public. And generally speaking, that is the case when we are referring to a public minister of the gospel. But the original word here in Greek for preacher and preach doesn't restrict the meaning just to delivering a formal sermon in a public setting. It simply means to proclaim, and someone who proclaims. And in order to proclaim, you don't have to stand up in a fancy pulpit and deliver a polished sermon to a congregation. Rather, every time you open your mouth and speak something, you are proclaiming. You're proclaiming something, at least. Whether you're happy or sad, grumpy or excited, sick, tired, or disgusted, wouldn't it be great if when you opened your mouth, no matter what, you proclaimed something about the gospel? Not that every breath is going to be a word-for-word recitation of a Bible passage, but that every breath can be a proclamation of the grand truth that Jesus is Lord. Every word can be a witness to the tremendous things that God is accomplishing in your life and in the world. And that's why today we're using that attention-grabbing phrase, gossiping the gospel, to explain what this reading from Romans chapter 10 means for us here and now. As we said earlier, we're all tempted at times to spread juicy bits of information about someone else to others. And as we said, if that information in any way paints others in a bad light, well, then it would be sinful for us to spread it or even to listen to it from someone else. But as Christians, gossiping the gospel should be second nature to us, because there's no better news and no more important news for anyone to hear than the news that their sins have been forgiven through Jesus, and that life in heaven, eternal life, is theirs because of the saving work of Jesus for them on the cross. But you and I well know that gossiping the gospel isn't something that we automatically and eagerly do all the time. Sometimes we're like Jonah or Moses or Jeremiah. God told Jonah to go and proclaim his word to the people of Nineveh. But the people of Nineveh were terrible people. They were the arch enemies of God's people, the Israelites. Jonah didn't want to go and proclaim God's word to them, so instead he hopped a boat and went in the exact opposite direction of where God told him to go. God told Moses to go and proclaim his word to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. But Moses tried to come up with all kinds of excuses why he was not the right person to do it. He asked God to send someone else. God told Jeremiah to speak words of judgment from God to Israel. But Jeremiah replied, "Ah, Lord God, I really do not know how to speak. I am only a little child." Does that sound familiar? We have reasons too. We insist that we aren't brilliant, that we aren't gifted speakers who can freely share the truth of God's love with others. But we forget that Christianity spread throughout the Roman Empire with few, if any, brilliant preachers addressing packed churches of listeners. Few brilliant speakers of the gospel were heard of at all until after the first Christian emperor of Rome, Constantine, in the 4th century. And by that time, the entire Roman Empire had already been saturated with the good news of the gospel. So how did it happen? How did the gospel spread throughout the whole Roman Empire? Well, here's how. early Christian historians and even non-Christian historians of the time describe how it happened. Domestic servants spread the gospel, gossiped the gospel in the homes where they worked. Shopkeepers gossip the gospel with their customers. Housewives gossip the gospel across the rooftops in the cool of the evening. Children gossip the gospel as they made mud pies in the alleys. That is how God's word spread. And that's how God's word still works today. You are the church. You and I together. God has singled us out. He has chosen us. He has made us his church and assigned us the task of giving testimony about the gospel of his grace to all people. And I think that's so foreign or feels sometimes so strange to so many people, because we know that evangelism is the job of the church, the work of the church. And usually when we think of that, we think of the church being the institution led primarily by professionals, by a pastor, perhaps some Christian teachers, plus some lay leaders in the congregation. I know there's nothing wrong with evangelism committees and programs, but there is something wrong if we think about an evangelism committee as being our proxy, our substitute for sharing the good news ourselves with other people. There are probably thousands of reasons why we might feel like we are not capable of gossiping the gospel. But the reasons why we can and should outweigh them all. First, we have something truly worthy of gossiping about. The Christian message is the hottest news yet. Can you imagine any greater news than a man dying and rising again just as he said he would? If this were an ordinary person like you or me, it would be definitely plenty to get excited about. If, for example, you picked up your phone and saw in your news feed the headline, "Chicago man rises from the dead," well, you wouldn't put your phone down until you read every bit of information that news article had about that amazing event that had just happened. And then as soon as you finished reading about it, you would immediately start gossiping about it. Did you hear about the man who rose from the dead? Telephones would hum. Backyard fences would buckle under the weight of people leaning over to discuss this amazing news. He actually didn't stay dead. Well, that would happen definitely if it were an ordinary man who rose from the dead. But now if this were no ordinary man, if, for example, it was the mayor or the governor or the president or say, the God of heaven who died and rose again, wouldn't that be news to share? That would be good news, news worth gossiping about. Because if my God and yours really died and rose again, and things can't go on just as they were before. Something has to happen in this world to you and to me. Something has to change. And this is the kind of news that can't be hushed or allowed to fade out of the picture. It has to be gossiped about. And do you see then a second reason? It should be easy to gossip the gospel, because it's simply so natural to share with others something that you yourself are so excited about. When you have amazing news to share, you're often so excited that you go to someone else that you know and love, and you stutter and pant and laugh and stumble over your words. You simply can't get those words out fast enough to tell someone else the great good news that you have to share. So if it's true that the Lord of your life and mine died and rose again for your salvation, then you really have something to be excited about. You simply can't just toss it into the filing cabinet of your life and leave it there and not think about it again. Something has to happen. You have to react. You simply have to gossip, get that good news out to others. Now you may be thinking, well, Pastor, that's all fine and good. But still, it's not as easy as it sounds. It's easier said than done. And I agree with you 100%. But before you throw up your hands and give up, lend an ear to just one more solid thought. It's the nature of gossip never to force itself on the hearer. Gossip always comes through as news, never demanding that the hearer will be moved or changed by it or even enjoy listening to it, but still the gossiper gossips. And what that means for us is this: your job is simply to witness to what God says and does, and then let the Holy Spirit do the rest. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So when do you gossip the gospel? Simply whenever the situation presents itself. And if you're going about your rightful task as a Christian in the world, then those times will be many and often. The world will again and again ask for answers from you, usually in questions like this: what's the use? Why not just throw in the towel? What's the sense of it all? Why just stand there and let them kick your teeth down your throat? What do I do next? And here is the time to speak into the brokenness of the world. Here is the time to share the good news that Jesus lives, that he is in charge, that we are his and nothing can separate us from his love. That is gossiping the gospel. The Apostle Paul doesn't just give us a set of instructions aimed at speaking the gospel freely. No, that would be easy if he were just telling us what to do. No, but he also comes through with the goods himself. He gives us examples of how it's done. Let's take just a simple slice of his life, not a big or extremely important event, but one where we can simply just catch him in the act of being himself and of just naturally gossiping the gospel. Take this example from Acts chapter 20. Paul is on the dock in Ephesus, ready to board a ship for Jerusalem. The people are there to see him off, concerned about what lies ahead for him when he arrives in Jerusalem. It doesn't matter, he says. God's will for me is more important. Or they ask, what will we do when you're gone? He had spent 3 years among them, proclaiming the gospel among them, and he told them that he would most likely not see them ever again. He simply replies, I have already disclosed to you the purpose of God in your life. That will sustain you. Or they ask, what about the rabble-rousers who want to upset everything here? He replies, the flock belongs to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Jesus has purchased it with his own blood. Simply continue to share that good news. And then without a lot of tears and sad farewells, he speaks a word of prayer for them, hops on his ship, and is off to his destination. See how comfortable he is about speaking the good news? No matter if the situation was a crisis or a common everyday occurrence, Paul was ready to pointedly yet unobtrusively share the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he lives, and that we belong to him. That is gossiping the gospel. And now we're ready to get good and practical. Your husband comes home from work tired, grumpy, and irritable. The unspoken question is, what's the use? Why can't things ever seem to go right? And here's where you simply, lovingly, naturally share the good news. Gossip the gospel. Or your young child comes home crying because they got into a fight with a friend at school. It's a crisis situation. She's crying for an answer. Simply gossip the gospel. Or a neighbor comes over across the backyard, pale and hands quivering. His younger sister has just died from cancer, leaving behind a family of four. What's more important right here and now than to answer the question by gossiping the gospel? Many times, every day at home or at work, at school, or wherever we might be out in public, people are asking questions of you because you have become a sign to them that God's gifts have in fact come to people. And each time they approach you and ask you for input or ask you about what is the purpose? Why do these things happen? Each and every time is another opportunity for you to share the victory of your Lord and Savior Jesus, and to point again to the fact that because he lives, we have hope now and for eternal life. As Paul says to us in our reading, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one about whom they have not heard? How can they hear without a preacher, without someone to proclaim to them? So from now on, may Christ the one you gossip about. In every conversation, gossip the good news. Gossip the gospel. Amen.